Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life.
All told by real people.
And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy 4th of July weekend. Panthers Insider live with you from 8 to 9 a.m. as we are every Saturday on the home of the Pitt Panthers, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. We are driven by PGT Trucking and brought to you by Beaver County Automotive. I called Nicholas Callis on my way in this morning, which wasn't too long ago, and because I was up early, I was prepping for the show, getting my notes ready, and I was on Twitter, of course, and saw some posts, and we're going to talk football all day today. We are 8-9 Saturdays away from kickoff. Only 8 Saturdays left this summer without football. And the Pitt Panthers obviously will kick things off. We'll have some preseason games before that. But the real thing, the games start to count September 2nd for Pitt and then shortly after for the Pittsburgh Steelers. So 8 Saturdays without football. Keep that in mind as you celebrate America's birthday this weekend, July 4th. But I'm on Twitter, and I see some posts, some audio. You know, I saw the Pirates game last night. I watched. I saw the walk-off. And, you know, I'm in the radio business, obviously. I just think radio calls are better. That's just my opinion. You don't see it. It's theater of mind. And I heard Greg Brown's walk-off call for Carlos Santana. And I asked Nicholas to have it queued up because, and we'll talk about this after. I want to get your thoughts. This town has been blessed for a long time with great play-by-play announcers, great analysts, the whole nine. Greg Brown is one of them. And take a listen and you'll know why.
Right-hander sets, and the pitch.
High drive to right field, and it's fair, it's gone! Oh, it is gone! Clear the deck! Oye, como va? Carlos Santana has won the game! Raise the Jolly Roger, his ninth, a no-doubter. He pauses around third, looks toward the sky, dances toward the plate. He's still not there yet. Now he goes, Carlos Santana. A home run to win this game over the Brewers. At PNC Park.
How good is that, Nicholas?
I love Greg. Because you know that's him. You feel like that's who he is. He gets excited for the Pirates.
Yep.
He's creative. And it's just pleasant to listen to.
It's pleasant to listen to. And I tell this to Nick all the time. He's got a play-by-play voice, this guy, Nicholas Callis. And I figured he'd be juiced up to talk about this. But Greg is Greg's a gem, man. I mean, obviously, you know, calling winning baseball is a lot easier. But even during game, you know, seasons where they've struggled, the energy's always there. And it just got me to thinking, right? You know, someone that's, you know, going into my 11th or 12th season, you know, doing color alongside who I consider to be one of the best to ever do it, Bill Hillgrove, how, and every city will say this with pride, obviously. But Pittsburgh, you know, my adopted hometown, boy, have we been lucky to have some of the absolute best to do it. I mean, Mike Lang, probably, in my opinion, he's the best hockey radio play-by-play guy I've ever heard. And that's probably the hardest sport to do, I would say, especially from the vantage point they give those guys. I mean, they're way up in the boonies, and there's constant action. You're following a puck that's the size of a, you know, it's a small circle. You know, you got action everywhere, and there was just a flow and rhythm to him. You know, Bill Hillgrove, I mean, think about it. I mean, he's going into season number 50 this fall with Pitt football. Started in 1973, working with Ed Conway. Did color to start, actually, and then became the play-by-play man. 50 years. Pitt basketball is longer than that. I mean, he's in the mid-50s doing Pitt basketball. Jack Fleming, Bob Prince, you know, Craig Brown. The list goes on and on and on and on and on. On and on. And I just, again, when you, I'm partial, obviously, I'm biased, but you watch TV and you're narrating it yourself because you're watching it. If you're at the game, you're at the game. And I know people that put headphones in at the game to listen to the radio broadcast. It's still a thing. It's on an app now, obviously, which is probably a little bit more dependable. But still, to listen to how it's described, you know, he pauses after third base. He does a dance before he hits home plate. If you're driving, you know, you're leaving the grocery store, you're leaving wherever you're at, leaving dinner, and you hear that, you're just picturing it in your mind. It's truly theater of mind. And I wanted to take a chance this morning and talk about that. Feel free to give me a call on it, too, 412-928-9370. Who's your favorite announcer, play-by-play guy in Pittsburgh sports history? Or one of your favorite calls? One of your favorite all-time calls? I know mine. I mean, calling it with Billy the ACC Championship game in 2021 was unbelievable. I've listened to the call of Ronald Ramon's corner three against West Virginia. I've listened to all of it. Tony Dorsett breaking the rushing record at Navy Stadium. All of them. Want to hear from you, 412-928-9370. But today, we're talking Pitt football. We're going to talk Pitt football a lot over the next 8 weeks because we're 8 weeks from kickoff. 8 weeks until we're in game week. Eight Saturdays. Eight more shows that I'll be doing that doesn't have a game following the next week or a game that day. 8 weeks. Unbelievable. 63 days until the Panthers kick off against Wofford. 8:45, we're going to welcome David Hale from ESPN. David, if you follow David, is probably the most comprehensive, he probably has the most comprehensive coverage of ACC football that you'll find. And he's doing some positional rankings now, which has me interested, and we're going to talk about those rankings here shortly. Positional rankings across the conference. And his first two position groups feature the Panthers in the top five in the ACC. Two position groups that I would say are the Panthers' strength coming into 2023. We'll talk about them. We'll talk about perhaps areas of, not concern, but areas where someone's going to need to step up as well. But we're talking Pitt football for the next hour. 412-928-9370. David Hale joining us at 8:45. Panthers kick things off with Wofford, week one, September 2nd. And they come back with an intriguing matchup against Cincinnati in week two before heading down to Morgantown for a night game in Milan Puskar Stadium. Adam Crowley's home away from home. We'll have some fun in Morgantown. Again, David Hale. And the position groups I want to chat about today, and again, you're free to give me a call all day long. You want to talk announcers, play-by-play? I played that Greg Brown call. I might play it again just because I liked it that much. Gave me goosebumps. But David Hale, you can follow him at A David Hale Joint. That's at A David Hale Joint. Doing positional rankings in the ACC. Started with defensive backs. If I had to say the strongest position on this Pitt roster right now, and this may surprise some, losing Brandon Hill and Eric Hallett, but given the success that Pat Narduzzi's, all right, I see John coming in. John from Brookline and Myron. I failed to mention Myron Cope. John, I apologize for not mentioning Myron Cope. John, good morning.
That's all right. That was one of the funniest moments I've ever. I remember that being broadcast live, and I could not. I almost had to pull over.
which moment specifically are you talking about, John?
When Myron Cope was trying to pronounce Fakir Brown, and he called him Blankety Brown. And Twin Jokin said, that's all right, you can call him Mr. Brown.
Oh, my goodness. Unbelievable. Myron Cope is a legend. John, appreciate the call this morning. Have a great 4th of July. Myron Cope. I kick myself sometimes. Like I'm sitting in the same chair he did for games. It's crazy. More of your calls this morning, 412-928-9370. Pitt defensive backs. And again, losing Eric Howell, losing Brandon Hill, both drafted, both in the National Football League. Hill with the who's Brandon with? The Jags or the Bucks? But we know the Jags is Eric Howell because he missed the call. I think Brandon found himself a home. Is he in Houston? I'll have to double check. But anyway, he's not a Pitt Panther, and that's all that matters to us. Not a Pitt Panther. But if you look at the corners, which is really this defense, the way they are structured, the way they play, I mean, it is so contingent on having great corner play. And the Panthers have produced great corners over Pat Narduzzi's tenure. Corners that have gone on to success in the National Football League, Avante Maddox, Jason Pinnock, Dane Jackson, all playing in the NFL. And this year coming back, Damari Mathis. You got Marquez Williams. MJ Devonshire, to me, is a sleeper first-team All-ACC player. Not only his return capability, but also his coverage ability and takeaway capacity. This guy knows where the ball is and finds it. Knows where the ball is, finds it, makes plays. None more legendary than the pick six against West Virginia. So you look at those three, you know, Marquez Williams, MJ Devonshire, and then AJ Woods. These guys have played a ton of football. And AJ Woods, to me, is an X factor in this defense. He's an X factor because I think he can play multiple spots. We saw Eric Hallett play a lot of nickel early in his career. I think A.J. Woods has a chance to be a slot corner at the next level. You think of the Mike Hiltons of the world that can blitz, great speed. Obviously, he can cover. He's played, and he's played outside his whole career. But we've seen sprinklings of him playing nickel, and I really am excited to see what he brings to the table. Having that veteran presence on the outside, I think will take some of the stress off of, candidly, the youth they're going to have on the hash at safety. Javon McIntyre, I think, is a chance to be one of the better safeties that has played in this Pitt defense. Young guy, he's played a lot of football, had a couple picks in his career, including against Miami. This guy knows what he's doing. P.J. O'Brien, flashes. We've also seen the bad side of P.J. You know, penalized on special teams, some mental mistakes. He has got to grow up fast. And then there's Donovan McMillan back there playing the safety position, transfer from Florida, Peters Township grad. But look at the talent on that back end. The talent it's plentiful. It's everywhere. I understand why David Hale ranks them in the top three or four secondary units in the ACC. And they're probably stressed schematically more than any of the others above them with the way they play. So they better be good. And I think they're going to create with a defensive line that doesn't have the household names of the Kalijah Canseys or the Rashad Weavers or the Patrick Jones that they've had in the past. Jalen Twyman, give him that extra half second to a second because the coverage ability is at such a high level. They could play a little bit different. And I think some of the talent they have in the second level, linebacking core, Bengali Kamara, Solomon DeShields, Shane Simon, those guys can be a part of this pass rush situation, play a little bit more of that blitz man-to-man on the back end, that three deep, three under they play. And I think this defense will be just as good as we've seen Pat Narduzzi, Randy Bates find a way to do it. Speaking of play-by-play, guys, Tony from Tarentum is here to talk Bob Walk. I love Bob Walk. Tony, how are you, man?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Hey, yeah, I was just saying one of my favorite things in the world, like great joys in life, is to tune into a Pirates game on the radio and have the joy of listening to Bob Walk and Greg Brown, particularly if the Pirates are just out of the game. It's the sixth inning and they're down by 10 runs. That is just the perfect scenario for me because the stream of consciousness and just the random thought streams that come out of their mouths and what they end up talking about is just pure joy for me. So
there's no doubt, Tony. I appreciate you sharing that, man. Have a great 4th of July. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks. You too.
You know what? Stream of conscience. I remember we had a rain delay. Lightning. It was a Syracuse game in 2017. Maybe it was 18. It was sealed with a pick in overtime in that game. But it torrentially downpoured. It was lightning delay, the whole nine. And Hillgrove looked at me in the break, and he goes, "We got to tap dance for a while here. It's going to be a minute." And we're talking jazz. We're talking, bars and, Garfield. We're talking all this stuff. And I'm thinking to myself, that's got to be hilarious for people that are, may not know, maybe they're in Johnstown, and it's not raining in Johnstown. They turn the pick game on, and we're talking about, Miles Davis and classic jazz. But you got to be able to do it, particularly if the game isn't entertaining or if there's some pause in the action. Baseball probably being most notable because so many games, you're going to get such a variety of content. You better be able to tap dance, especially on the radio. There's no interviewing someone in the crowd or showing a fan falling asleep. You are talking to people that can't see the game for the most part. But I love that Tony enjoys the banter, the back and forth. More Pitt football talk next. More of your calls, 412-928-9370. We'll be back with Panthers Insider after this break.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose.
So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Oye, ¿cómo va? Oye, ¿cómo va? I love that. Carlos Santana. Walk-off home run. Greg Brown with the call. Panthers Insider back at you. Talking Pitt football, 8 weeks, 8 Saturdays left without football, sans football, until we kick things off on September 2nd with the Panthers against Wofford, the Terriers of Wofford, coached by former Pitt offensive coordinator, who's the head coach there at Wofford now, Sean Watson. David Hale joining the program next segment, 8:45. David Hale of ESPN covers the ACC in exhaustive and comprehensive fashion. Doing his positional rankings, preseason positional rankings and picks. We talked Pitt DBs. Love this group. Love this group of Pitt defensive backs. Headlined by Marquez Williams, MJ Devonshire. AJ Woods, Javon McIntyre, Donovan McMillan. Talented group. A little bit of youth in the safety ranks, but a lot of talent. David Hale started with the defensive backs in terms of his preseason rankings. And he goes through every school in their group in terms of his analysis and ranks the Panthers in the top three in terms of secondaries in the ACC. Next position group, I think, is another strong point for Pitt. It's an interesting one because you lose the left side of your offensive line. And really, this offensive line last year was heralded because everyone was back a year ago. Everyone was back. They had a bunch of fifth, six-year seniors, Carter Warren, Marcus Miner, Jake Cradle, Owen Drexel, Matt Gonsalves being the only non-fifth or six-year senior at right tackle. And that group didn't play a snap together. They didn't play a snap together all year. The five predicted starters did not play a snap together all year. It was musical chairs at offensive line for the Panthers, and what do? They produce an all-ACC running back in Israel Abanikanda. They run the football better than they've run it in 4 or 5 years, going back to 2018. And they did it with a myriad of different combinations. That's one of the reasons I think David Hale has Pitt, although he puts the disclaimer out there, he doesn't think the ACC is the strongest in terms of offensive line play, which is fair. I mean, the Big Ten typically gets that mantle, and certainly the SEC is no slouch. But he's got Pitt ranked fourth. Here's why I think that is. The experience is still there. It's still there. You look at right tackle, Matt Gonsalves is about as good as dependable a right tackle as there is in the ACC. He's certainly an all-ACC caliber performer. He's a guy that has a chance to get drafted if he has a good year. He could swing and play left tackle in a second, too. He's athletic enough. His first start was against Clemson in 2020 at left tackle as a freshman. Blocking Miles Murphy and God knows who else. Guy's a really good football player. And he's versatile. You know, at right guard, you got Blake Zubovic. Blake's played a ton of football. A ton of football. The Bell Vernon native. He's played a ton of football. He can play both guard spots. He can play center if you want him to. Jake Cradle figures to be the odds-on favorite to start at center. He can play guard as well. Cradle, the Butler product, played a lot of snaps, was hurt a couple years ago, unfortunately, against Clemson, and came back last year and played good football. Was dependable. The left side of this offensive line is where things get a little bit more uncertain. And when I say uncertain, it's not for lack of options. It's for not knowing what those options and how they will shake out. Who will play what position? Branson Taylor's played the most football. He figures to be, in my opinion, figures to be the starter at left tackle day one, if they don't swing Gonsalves over. And we'll see through the course of camp how that shakes out. But Branson Taylor, athletic, young player, got his feet wet a whole bunch last year, started some games. This guy can play. He's ACC ready. Left guard spot, you got Ryan Jacoby, the Ohio State transfer. You got Ryan Bear, the former four-star offensive lineman, just a behemoth human being. Massive human being. And then behind that, there's a lot of youth. There's a lot of young guys. It's a lot of young guys. But if you look at, with the exception of the left guard position, you've got starting experience at every spot. Every single spot. You've got significant starting experience. In some cases, you've got 30-plus games, 30-plus starts with guys like Gonsalves, Cradle. They've played together. They had a spring. It's year two of Frank Cignetti's offense. Their foundation is running the football. You've got a solid crop of backs behind them. You got quarterbacks now that can move. This isn't Keaton Slovis or Max Brown or Pat Bostic in terms of mobility. This is Phil Jurkovec, Christian Vieira. Nate Yarnell can move. Add that element to this run game, the ability for the quarterback to be a factor and must be respected in terms of his ability to run. I think that only makes the O-line's job easier. Obviously, that's the case in protection. If you're able to move the pocket, the quarterback's able to break and extend plays. You don't have to block for 4 seconds, 3.5 seconds. The launch point can change. I think for those reasons and many more, this is a group that has a chance to be, I think, pretty good and successful. And I can't name names, but Dave Warbley and company are recruiting the offensive line position very well. And if you look at stylistically how different Pitt is, and I think there'll be a variation of what they were last year with the quarterback mobility into the equation. And if you want to play offensive line in the National Football League, two-point stance, shotgun, no huddle is not the best training for that. Pitt has a different proposition. They're playing a more pro-style offense. They're running the wide zone, the powers, the gap schemes that you see at the next level. And they're developing quality offensive linemen. Saw Carter Warren get picked up. They haven't had the quantity of draft picks, but I think Matt Consalvis is the next one. And it would not shock me to see him have a terrific year and put himself in a position to get picked in the top half of the draft. He's been that level of consistent. He's got that level of versatility. And he's got all the measurables you want. And he's tough. This guy's tough. The best thing that could happen for this football team is for Matt Consalvis to take a leadership role as a veteran. Because, and particularly in the offensive line, he's a mean dude, man. He looks like he's Tony Siragusa's grandson or something. He's just got that New York grit to him. Love this guy as a football player. 412-928-9370. Going to wrap up this segment here in a couple minutes, talking Pitt football, 8 Saturdays remaining without football until we kick things off in September. David Hale going to join the program next. And I want to get into some, kind of preview this segment with David, because, again, his perspective on the ACC is unique. I want to ask him about where he sees Pitt in the ACC. And this is a program that has won 20 games in 2 years, has won the second most ACC games in the last handful of years, next to only the Clemson Tigers. But we're seeing the resurgence of some programs that, candidly, we didn't see them factor in the ACC race the past 5 or 6 years, Florida State being most notable. Yeah, Mike Norvell seems to have a new lease on life. They've been active in the transfer portal. Jordan Travis is a veteran quarterback, figures to be among the best dual-threat quarterbacks in college football and one of the better passers in the ACC. Panthers will face Florida State at home later in the season, amidst a stretch of playing Notre Dame and Wake. Nice stretch. But Florida State, is the hype real? Is the hype real? Where does Pitt fit in the ACC? As we talk through these positional rankings, going to get David's perspective on Pitt's strengths from a personnel standpoint and perhaps what he may see as weaknesses. And, of course, we'll ask the age-old prediction. Who plays for the title this year in the ACC? Is it Clemson, Florida State, or will Pitt have something to say about it? Drake May in North Carolina. Brandon Armstrong at NC State. There's been some trades at the quarterback position in the ACC. We know Devin Leary left NC State. He's at Kentucky. Brandon Armstrong goes down to Raleigh and will start for the Wolfpack. Miami. It was a tough year for the Canes last year. Saw it up close and personal at Hard Rock Stadium to close the regular season out. They were in a bad way. Still recruiting at an incredibly high level. Still have all the talent in the world. But can Mario Cristobal put it together? Can they stay healthy? Because obviously, that was a problem for him last year, particularly at the quarterback position. There was such promise for the Canes going into 2022, mainly because of Tyler Van Dyke, the freshman of the year. We saw him play a couple snaps, try to come back against the Panthers, ends up throwing a pick and getting sacked by Savassier Dennis, and that was all she wrote. What will Van Dyke follow up in 2023 with? Because I've seen him play. I mean, we saw him as a freshman at Acrisure State, Heinz Field at the time, dissect the Panthers in 2021, one of their two losses on the regular season. Probably prevented him from having a chance at the playoff, notwithstanding the Western Michigan loss. So the ACC is a little bit murky. There's no Trevor Lawrence in Death Valley. There's plenty of other pieces. We'll talk to David Hale next. Going to get him on the line and talk through this ACC picture As we continue on Panthers Insider, we are driven by PGT Trucking and brought to you by Beaver County Automotive. We'll be back after this. Panthers Insider continues this morning. Happy 4th of July weekend to you all out there. Joined now by who I see as the most comprehensive, provides the most comprehensive coverage of ACC football on social media, on the web. You can find him at A David Hale Joint from ESPN. David, good morning. Happy 4th of July weekend, my man.
Hey, right back at you.
So I appreciate you making time this morning. We're eight Saturdays left without football, without college
That's
football.
Crazy.
It's crazy, man. And you're getting into these positional rankings. You got me juiced up. Let's talk big picture ACC right now, just to start things off. How do you see the ACC in terms of tiers? Where would you tier teams right now as you head into this 2023 season on who has a chance to make a run for the ACC championship in this new no-division model?
Right. Look, it's fascinating because some of these schedules, like, I'm not a big preseason schedule analyzer. I think we tend to not necessarily know. You know, you would have thought Duke was a pushover last year at this time, and they win 9 games and hardly were a pushover. So I tend to not buy a lot into that. But you look at a team like Louisville, who has really made out well by having the no divisions and the way that their schedule sets up. On the other hand, you know, Duke is a good example of a team that I think got absolutely screwed on their schedule after having it pretty easy last year. So some of that plays into it. But just looking big picture, I think you'd be foolish not to say that the top tier is Clemson and Florida State. It just is. I'm not guaranteeing either of them lives up to all of the hype, but I think that those are clearly the two most talented, most experienced teams. I think the real interesting conversation is sort of that next group, but I think you can kind of split it into two tiers of one, which is, I think, the relatively high floor, I'm not sure how high their ceiling is, group, which I would probably put Pitt into, along with maybe NC State and Wake Forest, where I think they're going to be good teams. I'll be surprised if they turned out bad. I just don't know if they've got that enough to be sort of elite, win the league type of thing. The other side of that coin, I look at a team like North Carolina, which they were so bad in so many areas last year, but still made an ACC championship game, still have Drake May. The ceiling seems high, but the floor might be low. I would probably put Miami in that category and maybe Louisville as well. So that's sort of where I would stack up sort of the contenders. And then after that, you know, it's some mix of, I think Duke is probably a bowl team, but they have a tough schedule. Georgia Tech, they made strides last year. I'm not sure quite where they are along the line towards getting a bowl. I'm sure a bowl would be a great outcome for them. That's kind of where I see the lead. I think the Virginia teams are probably in a tough spot still, Virginia in particular. Boston College is one that sort of strikes me as, I think there's a lot of room for improvement. They could, I don't know if they're going to win 9 games like Duke did, but I think that might be the team that sort of follows that Duke model, that if the schedule sets up right and things fall into place, that they have an opportunity to be much better than they were last year. I could see them in the bowl picture too. So that's kind of my, you know, 3,000-foot view of the league at this point, but I should probably be convinced to change my mind on a number of those things.
Yeah, well, David Hale joins us on the Panthers Insider program now, and I think there's probably not a better 3,000-foot view of the ACC, and we appreciate that analysis. When it comes to Pitt, you mentioned them, I think, fairly in that, you know, upper echelon of the second tier right now. You're sure what the floor is, you're not sure what the ceiling is. What are some of the questions about the Panthers? You know, this is obviously a team that won an ACC championship in 2021. By all accounts, had a disappointing 2022 based on expectations, but still has won 20 games in 2 seasons. What are some of the questions you have about this team before we start talking about some strengths?
Yeah, I think, look, I don't really question necessarily the defensive front, because I think Pat Narduzzi has churned out one good defensive front after another. But there is a lot of turnover in that group from some really impactful veterans over the years. So I think it's a reasonable question of whether they're going to be great whether they're going to be good, whether they're going to be above average. I think, you know, there's a range there. I would be surprised if it was a bad unit. I don't think that's going to happen. But I do think that, you know, matching Kalijah Kansi-level production is also a lot to ask. I think the on defense in general, and this is a conversation I've had with Pat, is like, you know, Dennis was such a impactful leader on the field, off the field, the voice, the personality. I don't know if you've got that guy, if that guy emerges, or if it's several guys that kind of fill that role. I think you need to have somebody, though, who is sort of the centerpiece that everybody looks to. And I don't know if they've got that yet. And then I think, look, I think Phil Dracovich has all the talent in the world. I think he is a big upgrade from what was not really a great overall QB performance last year from Keaton Slovis. I think that all of that should look good. But it's been a while since we've seen Phil Dracovich at his best, and that's not entirely his fault. He dealt with injuries, and he dealt with an absolutely atrocious offensive line at Boston College last year. But I do think there is a valid question there until we see it on the field. So, again, I look at all of those things, and I say, I don't have big questions. I just, there's stuff we don't know, and that's reasonable this time of year.
There's no doubt, and those are the same questions that, as I prepare for the season and take a look at this roster, that you start to ask yourself are, what positions need to grow up fast, defensive line being one of them, and what positions do you need to have a return to form? And this team is going to depend on Phil Dracovich being the 2020 Phil Dracovich that runs around and makes plays. With that being said, your positional rankings I find fascinating, not just the rankings themselves, but the analysis of each school and each position group. You rank the Pitt defensive backs high, although there are questions about losing Brandon Hill and Eric Hallett. What is it about this Pitt secondary that impresses you, especially given how they play?
Well, one, my initial concern, again, was if you don't have quite the pass rush that you had before, and all of this is sort of a puzzle that one thing affects the next. And so what happens if you don't have the pass rush success that you had last year? What does that mean for the secondary? And just in digging into the numbers, when Pitt wasn't getting pressure on the quarterback last year, their secondary still held up really, really well. So I think that's a big plus for this group. Two, you've got just two really veteran, successful guys in Devon Shire and Marquise Williams. I mean, those guys have played a lot of snaps. And I think that it's hard to undervalue experience in the secondary, guys who understand how to play the position and can bounce back after a bad play and get back at it. So I think the value of experience there can't be undersold. And look, I you're right, there's some names that they've got to replace as well, but again, that's a position where even the sort of next year coming up, it's not a bunch of freshmen for the most part. I mean, they've got guys who've played some snaps. So I feel pretty good about the secondary, and I feel pretty good about the secondary whether or not the defensive front is elite or just pretty good. I think the secondary is in good shape.
No doubt. Taking a look at this Pitt schedule, open with Wofford, talking to David Hale from ESPN, by the way, on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Cincinnati, West Virginia, intriguing local matchups, and then they hop right into ACC play with North Carolina. Got to find out a lot about this defense during that game, I would anticipate. But there's a run, David, in the middle, late part of October that I think will tell us all we need to know about this Pitt team. And I want to ask you about the first two games in that stretch. But one at home, one on the road. Louisville, Wake Forest, then at Notre Dame and host Florida State on November 4th. Tell me about Louisville and Wake Forest. Both schools obviously dealing with some transition. Louisville at the coaching position. A lot of people coming. Obviously Jeff Brohm coming back home. Wake Forest knows Sam Hartman. What do you expect to see from the Cardinals and the Demon Deacons?
Yeah, Louisville is probably the team in the ACC that I feel like you could almost pick a number of wins, and I'd say, yeah, that's possible. I'm not going to argue with you on it because there's so much unknown. I know that fans there are thrilled about Jeff Brohm. They think this is a home run hire. They think it's going to fix a lot of things. And it's funny to talk about them fixing a lot of things. They did win 8 games last year.
Right.
There is a lot of transition on that team at coaching staff, of course, but quarterback, And I was out there in the spring and watched them a good bit. Jack Plummer looks real good. I think that's a good fit for them, but it is night and day different than what we've seen from Louisville for a long time, going from Lamar Jackson to Malik Cunningham, where it was two, not just mobile quarterbacks, but really sort of magician type of mobile quarterbacks. There's a bunch of turnover on the offensive line. There's a bunch of turnover at receiver. There's a bunch of turnover on the defense, particularly in the secondary. I mean, I like a lot of the guys that they brought in via the portal. I mean, there's some, I think, genuine reclamation type of products. They've got Storm Duck and Cameron Kelly from North Carolina, who had some real highs at some point in their career, but it looked pretty bad last year and the year before. You've got Jamari Thrash coming in from Georgia State at receiver. I think he looks really good. They brought in a kid from was with Dion last year, Jackson State. He's looked really good. Again, it's just there's so many things that are unknown there. I think there's a lot of upside with Louisville, but you know, sometimes those things don't gel and they can go the other direction. So I could see almost anything from Louisville. I'd probably, if I was Pitt, I'd probably rather have them before October 14th. But, you know, you'll have a better idea by then of who Louisville is. Wake's a team that I think they just – Dave Clawson's got that program at a point where they are who they are. I mean, you're going to have your years where they can jump up and win 10 or 11 like they did a couple of years ago. But I don't see this as a team that's going to regress down to, like, 3 or 4 wins anymore. There's just too much good talent that comes through there. And they're very high on Mitch Griffiths, the new quarterback. The way that I have heard folks talk about it is quarterback is the least of their concerns there, despite Sam Hartman moving on. To me, the biggest thing, they've got to identify some way to run the football better than they have the last couple of years. And I think that's where Pitt can have a real advantage against Wake Forest. If they're not able to run the football, Pitt's not a defense you want to be one-dimensional with. And so I think that's a good matchup for them. But, you know, the other thing is when you go into that stretch, you got Notre Dame and Florida State coming after that. That's not a lot of fun right there. And it's got to be a very sort of week-to-week mentality. You can't start looking ahead and saying, hey, Notre Dame, Florida State, these are preseason top 10 caliber teams. We need to be prepped for them. Louisville and Wake are both teams that can win those games too.
No doubt. No doubt. Talking to David Hill, wrapping things up. We went at 3,000 feet to start. We're going to go about 25,000 feet to finish with you, David. New schedule model for the ACC, no divisions. College football playoff expands here in just over a year's time. And everyone's talking about conference realignment. From your vantage point, how stable is the ACC, if that's a thing anymore? And what do you expect to see in the coming years in terms of realignment of the ACC's positioning in college football?
Yeah, stability is a very relative term at this point. I don't think there is something big about to happen in the next, you know, few months, maybe even a few years. I look at the general well-being of the league, and the fact of the matter is it is, no matter how much anybody wants to tell you otherwise, it is a business. And business is not great for the ACC, particularly when it comes to comparing them to their peer conferences in the SEC and the Big Ten. And so you've got to find a way to bridge a gap financially. And I'm not breaking any news here. But the problem is there really is not a good way to do that in any sort of relative sense. I mean, you might be able to add more money to the ACC, but it is likely something that will also be added to the SEC and Big Ten. So we talk about playoff expansion and that will bring more money in. That's true. It's probably going to bring even more money into the SEC and the Big Ten, though. So you really haven't made up any ground. And I think at the end of the day, there will be a tipping point in which some programs are going to say, we don't have a good option here. We've got to choose the best of bad options. And that would be trying to find a way to break the grant of rights. And when that happens, I don't know how that story ends, but it's not going to be pretty. It's not going to be fun. It's going to be a really unpleasant time for everybody in the league and in college football in general.
Well, David, I can't thank you enough for your perspective this morning, for joining us bright and early. Hope to talk to you this season. Enjoy your 8 Saturdays off, and then we'll get cracking here come the fall. Thanks again for joining us, and happy 4th of July.
Right back at you. Thanks. Good talking to you.
There he goes. David Hale from ESPN. Great stuff. Interesting stuff. Football just around the corner. But Josh Rountree is in the studio. Nicholas Callis is behind the glass. And I got to play it one more time, Nicholas, just for all of my friends out there.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Panthers Insider continues this morning. Happy 4th of July weekend to you all out there. Joined now by who I see as the most comprehensive, provides the most comprehensive coverage of ACC football on social media, on the web. You can find him at A David Hale Joint from ESPN. David, good morning. Happy 4th of July weekend, my man.
Hey, right back at you.
So I appreciate you making time this morning. We're eight Saturdays. We got eight Saturdays left without football, without college football.
That's crazy.
It's crazy, man. And you're getting into these positional rankings. You got me juiced up. Let's talk big picture ACC right now, just to start things off. How do you see the ACC in terms of tiers? Where would you tier teams right now as you head into this 2023 season on who has a chance to make a run for the ACC championship in this new no-division model?
Right. Look, it's fascinating because some of these schedules, like I'm not a big preseason schedule analyzer. I think we tend to not necessarily know. You know, you would have thought Duke was a pushover last year at this time, and they win nine games and hardly were a pushover. So I tend to not buy a lot into that. But you look at a team like Louisville, who has really made out well by having the no divisions and the way that their schedule sets up. On the other hand, you know, Duke is a good example of a team that I think got absolutely screwed on their schedule after having it pretty easy last year. So some of that plays into it. But just looking big picture, I think you'd be foolish not to say that the top tier is Clemson and Florida State. It just is. I'm not guaranteeing either of them lives up to all of the hype, but I think that those are clearly the two most talented, most experienced teams. I think the real interesting conversation is sort of that next group, and I think you can kind of split it into two tiers of one, which is, I think, the relatively high floor, I'm not sure how high their ceiling is, group, which I would probably put Pitt into, along with maybe NC State and Wake Forest, where I think they're going to be good teams. I'll be surprised if they turned out bad. I just don't know if they've got that enough to be sort of elite, win the league type of thing. The other side of that coin, I look at a team like North Carolina, which they were so bad in so many areas last year, but still made an ACC championship game, still have Drake May. The ceiling seems high, but the floor might be low. I would probably put Miami in that category and maybe Louisville as well. So that's sort of where I would stack up sort of the contenders. And then after that, you know, it's some mix of, I think Duke is probably a bowl team, but they have a tough schedule. Georgia Tech, they made strides last year. I'm not sure quite where they are along the line towards getting a bowl. I'm sure a bowl would be a great outcome for them. That's kind of where I see the league. I think the Virginia teams are probably in a tough spot still, Virginia in particular. Boston College is one that sort of strikes me as, I think there's a lot of room for improvement. They could, I don't know if they're going to win 9 games like Duke did, but I think that might be the team that sort of follows that Duke model, that if the schedule sets up right and things fall into place, that they have an opportunity to be much better than they were last year. I could see them in the bowl picture too. So that's kind of my, 3,000 foot view of the league at this point, but I should probably be convinced to change my mind on a number of those things.
Yeah, well, David Hale joins us on the Panthers Insider program now, and I think there's probably not a better 3,000-foot view of the ACC, and we appreciate that analysis. When it comes to Pitt, you mentioned them, I think, fairly in that, upper echelon of the second tier right now. You're sure what the floor is. You're not sure what the ceiling is. What are some of the questions about the Panthers? This is obviously a team that won an ACC championship in 2021. By all accounts, had a disappointing 2022 based on expectations, but still has won 20 games in 2 seasons. What are some of the questions you have about this team before we start talking about some strengths?
Yeah, I think, look, I don't really question necessarily the defensive front, because I think Pat Narduzzi has churned out one good defensive front after another. But there is a lot of turnover in that group from some really impactful veterans over the years. So I think it's a reasonable question of whether they're going to be great, whether they're going to be good, whether they're going to be above average. I think, there's a range there. I would be surprised if it was a bad unit. I don't think that's going to happen, but I do think that, matching Kalijah Kancey level production is also a lot to ask. I think on defense in general, and this is a conversation I've had with Pat, is like, Dennis was such a impactful leader on the field, off the field, the voice, the personality. I don't know if you've got that guy, if that guy emerges, or if it's several guys that kind of fill that role. I think you need to have somebody, though, who is sort of the centerpiece that everybody looks to. And I don't know if they've got that yet. And then I think, look, I think Phil Dracovic has all the talent in the world. I think he is a big upgrade from what was not really a great overall QB performance last year from Keaton Slovis. I think that all of that should look good. But it's been a while since we've seen Phil Dracovic at his best, and that's not entirely his fault. He dealt with injuries, and he dealt with an absolutely atrocious offensive line at Boston College last year. But I do think there is a valid question there until we see it on the field. So, again, I look at all of those things, and I say, I don't have big questions. There's stuff we don't know, and that's reasonable this time of year.
There's no doubt, and those are the same, questions that, as I prepare for the season and take a look at this roster, that you start to ask yourself are, what positions need to grow up fast, defensive line being one of them, and what positions do you need to have a return to form? And this team is going to depend on Phil Dracovic being the 2020 Phil Dracovic that runs around and makes plays. That being said, your positional rankings I find fascinating. Not just the rankings themselves, but the analysis of each school and each position group. You rank the Pitt defensive backs high, although there are questions about losing Brandon Hill and Eric Hallett. What is it about this Pitt secondary that impresses you, especially given how they play?
Well, one, my initial concern, again, was if you don't have quite the pass rush that you had before, I mean, all of this is sort of a puzzle that one thing affects the next. And so what happens if you don't have the pass rush success that you had last year? What does that mean for the secondary? And just in digging into the numbers, when Pitt wasn't getting pressure on the quarterback last year, their secondary still held up really, really well. So I think that's a big plus for this group. Two, you've got just two really veteran, successful guys in Devin Shire and Marquise Williams. I mean, those guys have played a lot of snaps. And I think that it's hard to undervalue experience in the secondary, guys who understand how to play the position and can bounce back after a bad play and get back at it. So I think the value of experience there can't be undersold. And look, I you're right. There's some names that they've got to replace as well. But again, that's a position where even the sort of next year coming up, it's not a bunch of freshmen for the most part. I mean, they've got guys who've played some snaps. So I feel pretty good about the secondary, and I feel pretty good about the secondary whether or not the defensive front is elite or just pretty good. I think the secondary is in good shape.
No doubt. Taking a look at this Pitt schedule, open with Wofford, talking to David Hale from ESPN, by the way, on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Cincinnati, West Virginia, intriguing local matchups, and then they hop right into ACC play with North Carolina. Got to find out a lot about this defense during that game, I would anticipate. But there's a run, David, in the middle, late part of October that I think will tell us all we need to know about this Pitt team. And I want to ask you about the first two games in that stretch. But one at home, one on the road. Louisville, Wake Forest, then at Notre Dame and host Florida State on November 4th. Tell me about Louisville and Wake Forest. Both schools obviously dealing with some transition. Louisville at the coaching position. A lot of people coming. Obviously Jeff Brohm coming back home. Wake Forest knows Sam Hartman. What do you expect to see from the Cardinals and the Demon Deacons?
Yeah, Louisville is probably the team in the ACC that I feel like you could almost pick a number of wins, and I'd say, yeah, that's possible. I'm not going to argue with you on it because there's so much unknown. I know that fans there are thrilled about Jeff Brohm. They think this is a home run hire. They think it's going to fix a lot of things. And it's funny to talk about them fixing a lot of things. They did win 8 games last year.
Right.
There is a lot of transition on that team at coaching staff, of course, but quarterback. I was out there in the spring and watched them a good bit. Jack Plummer looks real good. I think that's a good fit for them, but it is night and day different than what we've seen from Louisville for a long time, going from Lamar Jackson to Malik Cunningham, where it was two, not just mobile quarterbacks, but really sort of magician type of mobile quarterbacks. There's a bunch of turnover on the offensive line. There's a bunch of turnover at receiver. There's a bunch of turnover on the defense, particularly in the secondary. I mean, I like a lot of the guys that they brought in via the portal. I mean, there's some, I think, genuine reclamation type of products. They've got Storm Duck and Cameron Kelly from North Carolina, who had some real highs at some point in their career, but it looked pretty bad last year and the year before. You've got Jamari Thrash coming in from Georgia State at receiver. I think he looks really good. They brought in a kid from that was with Dion last year, Jackson State. He's looked really good. Again, it's just there's so many things that are unknown there. I think there's a lot of upside with Louisville, but you know, sometimes those things don't gel and they can go the other direction. So I could see almost anything from Louisville. I'd probably, if I was Pitt, I'd probably rather have them before October 14th. But, you know, you'll have a better idea by then of who Louisville is. Wake's a team that I think they just, Dave Clawson's got that program at a point where they are who they are. I mean, you're going to have your years where they can jump up and win 10 or 11 like they did a couple of years ago. But I don't see this as a team that's going to regress down to like 3 or 4 wins anymore. There's just too much good talent that comes through there. And they're very high on Mitch Griffiths, the new quarterback. The way that I have heard folks talk about it is quarterback is the least of their concerns there, despite Sam Hartman moving on. To me, the biggest thing, they've got to identify some way to run the football better than they have the last couple of years. And I think that's where Pitt can have a real advantage against Wake Forest. If they're not able to run the football, Pitt's not a defense you want to be one-dimensional with. And so I think that's a good matchup for them. But, you know, the other thing is when you go into that stretch, you got Notre Dame and Florida State coming after that. That's not a lot of fun right there. And it's got to be a very sort of week-to-week mentality. You can't start looking ahead and saying, hey, Notre Dame and Florida State, these are preseason top 10 caliber teams. We need to be prepped for them. Louisville and Wake are both teams that can win those games too.
No doubt, no doubt. Talking to David Hale, wrapping things up. We went to 3,000 feet to start. We're going to go about 25,000 feet to finish with you, David. New schedule model for the ACC, no divisions. College football playoff expands here in just over a year's time. and everyone's talking about conference realignment. From your vantage point, how stable is the ACC, if that's a thing anymore? And what do you expect to see in the coming years in terms of realignment of the ACC's positioning in college football?
Yeah, stability is a very relative term at this point. I don't think there is something big about to happen in the next, you know, few months, maybe even a few years. I look at the general well-being of the league, and the fact of the matter is it is, no matter how much anybody wants to tell you otherwise, it is a business. And business is not great for the ACC, particularly when it comes to comparing them to their peer conferences in the SEC and the Big Ten. And so you've got to find a way to bridge a gap financially. I'm not breaking any news here. But the problem is there really is not a good way to do that in any sort of relative sense. I mean, you might be able to add more money to the ACC, but it is likely something that will also be added to the SEC and Big Ten. So we talk about playoff expansion, and that will bring more money in. That's true. It's probably going to bring even more money into the SEC and the Big Ten, though. So you really haven't made up any ground. And I think at the end of the day, there will be a tipping point in which some programs are going to say, we don't have a good option here. We've got to choose the best of bad options, and that would be trying to find a way to break the grant of rights. And when that happens, I don't know how that story ends, but it's not going to be pretty. It's not going to be fun. It's going to be a really unpleasant time for everybody in the league and in college football in general.
Well, David, I can't thank you enough for your perspective this morning, for joining us bright and early. Hope to talk to you this season. Enjoy your 8 Saturdays off, and then we'll get cracking here come the fall. Thanks again for joining us, and happy 4th of July.
Right back at you. Thanks. Good talking to you.
There he goes. David Hale from ESPN. Great stuff. Interesting stuff. Football just around the corner. But Josh Rountree is in the studio. Nicholas Callis is behind the glass. And I got to play it one more time, Nicholas, just for all of my friends out there. The Buccos went in 4 straight. Cue up Greg Brown.
Right-hander sets. And the pitch.
What a call.
High drive to right field. If it's fair, it's gone. Oh, it is gone. Clear the deck. Oye, como va. Carlos Santana has won the game.
Can I steal your thunder with that?
No, we can't play that enough. We're going to play it again as soon as I start Bucco talk because it's fantastic.
They're playing better, man. I mean.
Yeah, four in a row.
Santana's hot.
Yeah, there's the veterans last night getting it done. Kutch and Santana.
I saw the view down the third baseline when he knew it was immediately when he hit it.
Yeah, that was I was at the game last night. We did pre and post from the ballpark last night, and we're gonna go back today too for it. But that was one of the better in person finishes I've seen to a game in a very, very long time. I mean, they never gave in, never gave up, and Santana just absolutely roped that ball. And to watch that thing, you know, I was talking to Bob Walk after the game, Pat, and to watch that ball just sort of cut through the hazy, dark sky of Pittsburgh and then just sort of disappear into the darkness beyond the Clemente wall was a really, really cool scene. And the crowd was great last night. They were into it. And, yeah, they've won 4 in a row here, so something may be cooking. I don't know. It's been a weird month of June. I feel like every time I sit in this chair for Bucco Talk, we're having a different conversation about this team. But
keeps you on your toes.
Yep, absolutely. I would rather it be like this than be in the dumpster right now. So I'll take it.
We'll be back next week with more Panthers. And so the only guy happier than you today is probably Bobby Bonilla.
Yes.
I mean, happy Bobby Bonilla to everybody.
Yeah,
Bobby
Bonilla Day out there. A million smackers richer.
A million smackers. And he is making a lot of money on every July 1st.
It's amazing.
Appreciate you, Nick. Queuing things up today. Great show. Appreciate David Hale. We'll be back with Panthers Insider next week, live from 8 to 9 a.m. Shout out to PGT Trucking, Beaver County Automotive, and all you Panther faithful out there. Have a great 4th of July. Hail to Pitt.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.